I am amazed. Oh, I am amazed at how easily Christians are taken in by every wind of doctrine that comes along. They're not actually able to discern the truth and error and any kind of a heresy that meets a responsive chord in the minds and hearts of a great many. And that's disturbed me. Why is it there's so much weakness today in so-called fundamental circles? The one explanation, in my mind, as I've stated, it's my judgment, it's just one thing, ignorance of the Word of God.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. What more can He say?
Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and as you heard a second ago from our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, we believe that a thorough knowledge of God's Word is absolutely essential in the life of every believer. So we're especially glad that you've joined us today for our ongoing study in Philippians. Now, as you climb aboard the Bible bus and you find your spot at chapter 4, verses 8 through 13, I want to welcome Greg Harris, Through the Bible's president, who's joining us today. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Steve.
Now, we're glad that you're here with us today, and as always, we're excited to hear how God is moving and working and taking His Word to every willing heart around the world. Why don't you give us an update?
Man, those are sweet words when you say give us an update, because I love to share with all of our listening family the amazing things God is doing. And you were part of this and you witnessed this. I want to talk today about the Radio Home Group initiative that started in India.
Yeah, boy.
And you saw some of this and you saw some of the fruit of it. But we want to just explain for those of you that either haven't heard this before or maybe need a little refresher. Some years ago, George Philip, who is the Malayalam voice, that's an Indian language, major Indian language, he says, I love Dr. McGee. He's the Malayalam voice of TTB. He said, if you cut me, I bleed McGee.
McGee.
I love that. And so George so loves the ministry Through the Bible that he said, we want to try to start translating at least parts of it into some of the more obscure languages of India so that everybody has a chance to at least get some of the Word of God.
And for those of you who don't know much about India, other than it's a big place and there's a whole lot of stuff going on in that country, it's packed full of people. It's also packed full of languages. There are over 120, I believe, is the number of languages and dialects.
1,659.
What?
Yes, actually.
Okay,
yeah.
So 120 must be the major ones then.
Yeah, well, that's the major languages, would fall into that category. But so we are in 26 of those major languages. And to summarize this initiative, we now, by the grace of God, have a plan to take part of Through the Bible. That is, he takes six books that he feels are a great introduction to Dr. McGee's teaching. And it covers a 3-year curriculum where groups of people meet once a week and listen to one message. So you have to kind of change your thinking. But think small groups.
Yep.
Think a church plant. That's what these really are. And Steve, there are now 5,000 of these groups meeting throughout India.
Yeah. In case you missed that number, 5,000. Just imagine that.
And an average group has about 7 to 10 people. And they actually have a strategy where if they start to grow, they split and then they become a new group.
Yeah.
Because there are powerful evangelistic dynamics that go on because these groups are meeting in communities where there's often no gospel witness.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting. Now, another exciting part of this strategy, if it's possible, even more exciting, is we have a plan, by the grace of God, to get into 150 total languages in India alone using this group method. So if you do the math, we have 26 existing full 5-year Through the Bibles. That means 124 new languages, Steve, hopefully in the next 3, 4, or 5 years. So we really want to ask our listening family to be praying about this initiative. I want to tell one quick story because there's a lot of facts and figures.
Yeah.
A village headman, basically the mayor of a small village.
I know the story.
And his son was having convulsions, went to the witch doctor, spent all his money. Somebody said, hey, there's a group of Christians that meets. Why don't you go and ask them to pray for you? Kind of a last-ditch effort.
Yeah.
He gets to the place. It's about 30 miles away. He might have had to walk. He might have had to, you know, I don't know how he got there, but he brought his son. They prayed for him. His son was healed. He went back to his village. All 900 people in his village are now not only followers of Jesus, but in these small group radio home groups.
Yeah, that is so incredible. And if you're encouraged by a story like this, if this makes your day, as hopefully as a believer it should, why don't you sign up for our World Prayer Team? You can get an email, maybe not as exciting as this one, but certainly an encouraging one every single day, Monday through Friday. You can read it. You can be encouraged. You can pray for a specific part of the world and do it in community with all of the other listeners that are doing the same thing every day, Monday through Friday. Go to ttb.org/pray. And Greg, why don't you do that now as we begin our study?
Father, our hearts are filled to overflowing to see you at work, opening up new avenues to get your word into the hearts of people around the world. We pray that you would continue to do that, that you would continue to give us wisdom and direction and provision for everything we need to get your whole word to the whole world. And we pray now for all of us who will be listening to this study that it will go deep in our lives and change us from within. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, today we come back to the fourth chapter, Philippians at verse 8. And we are looking at the power for Christian living. We've seen the source of that's joy, the fruit of the Spirit in our Christian's life. The secret of it is prayer. Now we see the sanctuary of power, and the sanctuary of power is Christ himself. That is the thing that's important. Contemplation of Christ is the sanctuary of power. Now will you listen to verse 8 as I read this? Finally, brethren. Now, this finally, it means business now. The epistle's coming to an end. Before, back in the beginning of chapter 3, he was just halfway through. But now, he's coming to the last point that he's going to make. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, where it says lovely here, whatsoever things are lovely, the better word, I think, is gracious. Whatever is gracious. Now, someone has called this the briefest biography of Christ that's ever been written. Just this verse here. And I think it's a good one. Who's true? Well, he is. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Whatsoever things are honest, who is honest? Jesus Christ. Whatsoever things are just, well, he's the just one. And he's going to rule someday in justice and righteousness. It's Christ. Well, whatsoever things are pure, well, who wants to stand up and say you're pure, my friend? I don't think that there are many of us could stand up and say that, but he could say, which of you convicteth me of sin? He's pure. Whatsoever things are lovely are gracious. Oh, how wonderful he was. And whatsoever things are of good report. And if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Who is the one we're to praise? And virtue includes more than what we think. It means that which is manly, that which is noble. These are virtues that have gone out of style. You're a squire today if you emphasize these. Well, our Lord was no square, but he was on the square, and he was one that we can think on him. Now, you and I live in a dirty world. I don't care where you go, you get dirty. You can't walk down the streets of Los Angeles without you get dirty. Your mind gets dirty, your eyes get dirty. Fact of the matter is, you get dirty physically even as you look into this world today. And do you ever get tired of the dirt and the filth of it? And television, oh, I look at it, but what sorry things are on it. What worthless things. Someone's called it the great wasteland. Well, it certainly is today. It's just like looking at an arid desert. And yet, their multitudes got their eyes glued to it, and their minds are being filled with dirt and filth and violence and things that certainly do not improve the mind. What can a Christian do? Well, my friend, if you're going to spend your time with the dirt and filthy and the questionable things of this world, you'll not be a Christian with power in your life. The reason today we got so many namby-pambies, so many mollycoddles, so many weaklings in the Christian faith, here is the problem. They spend their time all week with the things of the world, just filling not only their tummies with the things of the world, but filling their minds and their hearts with the things of this world. And then they wonder why there's no power in their lives. How much time do you spend in the Word of God? How much time do you spend contemplating Christ? And that is the thing we were emphasizing back in 2 Corinthians 3rd chapter, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed under the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, the Word of God is the mirror, and we're beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord. How are you going to behold Christ? The only way in the world you can behold the living Christ is in the Word of God. And as you behold Him, why, there is a liberty that He gives to you. There is a freedom He gives to you. There is a growth that He gives to you. And friends, you can't come by it any other way than in the Word of God. That's one of the reasons that there is so much weakness today. I am amazed. Oh, I am amazed at how easily Christians are taken in by every wind of doctrine that comes along. They're not actually able to discern the truth and error and any kind of a heresy that meets a responsive chord in the minds and hearts of a great many. And that's disturbed me. Why is it there's so much weakness today in so-called fundamental circles? The one explanation, in my mind, as I've stated, it's my judgment, it's just one thing, ignorance of the Word of God. And that ignorance of the Word of God is the reason that there is so much weakness. How puerile, how inconsequential is the impact of the lives of believers today. And just to go out and hand out a tract or spout out the plan of salvation, that's good. I don't mean to belittle that one bit. But my friend, you ought to have a life that backs it up, that's got power in it, because you've been contemplating the person of Jesus Christ and contemplating Him in the Word of God. A great many Christians today go to church to be entertained. Someone has said some people go to church to eye the clothes and others to close their eyes. They do not have a worthy motive, even in going to church. And they do not go there to hear the Word of God. They go there to be entertained, or go in some kind of a daze and sit there for probably an hour, not any longer, I'm sure, just to feel religious, feel pious. My friend, only the Word of God can bring strength to you. You have to have physical food when you're weak, and you have to have bread and meat if you're going to gain strength. And the Word of God is bread and it's meat, my friends. And the only way you can grow spiritually is in the Word of God and as that Word reveals Jesus Christ. And I wish that I could see Him on every page of Scripture. In the book of Psalms, when we were there, letter after letter said they did not know Christ was in the book of Psalms as He is. Well, I wish I could have found Him more, friends. The problem today is we need to see Him. We need to have the reality of Christ in our lives. And the only way that we can do that is with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. And there's a liberty today, and no one has an excuse. No one. I think one of the things that's going to cause many believers to be ashamed at the appearing of Christ is that they come into His presence, and they'll be as ignorant as a goat grazing grass on the hillside of the Word of God. And I'm of the opinion He's going to say to many of us, I told you that. I said that to you. And you did not listen. You did not hear me. The problem today with children is they don't listen to their parents. And the problem today with Christians is they're not listening to their Heavenly Father. Contemplation of Christ, that is the sanctuary of power. And many of us need to leave the busyness and the dirtiness of this world and go aside and with the Word of God have a sanctuary for the soul where we can contemplate Him, where we can worship Him, where we can praise Him. Now, we sometimes criticize the Roman Catholics for having some little image up and bowing down to it. Well, I don't agree to that. I mean, I don't agree that you ought to have an image. I think it's wrong. But that's another point. It's not right today for Protestants to live as if He doesn't even exist. He's a reality, and we need to contemplate Him and fix our minds on Him and not be spending our time criticizing those that maybe are bowing down to an image. And that's just what I've been doing, is disagreeing with them. But the whole point that I'm trying to make is, my friend, the substitute is not to get rid of the idols. The substitute is to turn to Him. Remember what Paul said to the Thessalonians? How ye turn to God from idols. You have to turn to Him first. And when you turn from Him, well, you won't need these aids at all. And the only way you can turn to Him is in the Word. Beholding as in a glass, Lord Jesus. The Spirit of God wants to make Him real to us. Many of us are walking afar off today. Oh, that He might bring us in closer. Now we come to the last division of the fourth chapter of Philippians. And here we have the satisfaction of power. But let me finish this section of the sanctuary with verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do or practice, and the God of peace shall be with you. And you notice I didn't say that you're to follow me, but Paul gave himself as an example. He is the one that had made Christ the very center of his life and also the periphery of his life. And when a man lives like that, then he has a sanctuary of the soul. Now, as we come here to the satisfaction of power, this, may I say to you, is a very wonderful section, and it's in Christ. Now, notice Paul really is getting down to the main purpose of the letter, and that was a thank you note to them for the gift that they had sent to him. And he says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. In other words, for 2 years, the church in Philippi had lost touch with Paul. You see, they were very close to him, but when he was arrested in Jerusalem and then in prison for 2 years, they did not know where he was. Then they heard he was in Rome in prison, where he'd been transferred. He'd appealed to Caesar. And they are apologizing to him for not having contact with him and for not communicating with him and not communicating and sending a gift to him, because apparently they were. And Paul is excusing them here in a most gracious manner. He said, I rejoice that your care of me flourished again, but you were careful, but you lacked opportunity. You didn't have the opportunity. You lost contact with me. How gracious he is, you see. Verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want. Paul says, I never made an appeal to you. I didn't send out a letter to you telling you that I'd be off the radio next week if you didn't send me a gift. I never did that. And Paul says, I didn't send out an SOS at any time. Paul says, the reason is, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I want to say this is a marvelous statement. I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, some of my friends who, when I say that Paul is a Southerner, and remember I said at the beginning of this epistle, and that I even know what state he came from, and it's from Texas, because of the fact that he uses the term I reckon. That's a good Texan expression. But these friends of mine say to me, said, Dr. McGee, he could never be a Texan because he says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And said, if he was from Texas, he'd never be content. And I want to tell you, I think that's taking scripture out of its context, and I don't think that's the correct interpretation. I want to say that it's marvelous the way this man here didn't make any difference whether he's in prison or out of prison. He was content. Now, many of us, if things are going right and we're in the right place, we're contented. And it's wonderful to be that way. I pray the Lord that in my own life, I ask him, Lord, make me as contented sitting here making a tape as I am when I'm out yonder in Hawaii looking out on the beautiful scenery. And that means that the circumstance has a lot to do with us being contented today. But Paul says, I've learned whatsoever state. Now he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to be down. I know how to not have anything. And I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Now Paul says, there are times when I don't have anything. And I've learned to be content with that. There are times when, oh, there's an abundance, and God's provided in a marvelous way, and I've learned how to abound. I know that when I retired from the pastorate, I actually thought there'd be a terrible letdown in income and our standard of living. I told my wife, I said, our standard of living, they'll have to really come down quite a bit. And I said, it's going to be hard for us because Paul knew how to abound, and he knew how to be abased. But I said, we're not good at that at all. And I guess the Lord knew about it because, very frankly, I want to say to you, due to the generosity of some very wonderful folk that remember me, my standard hadn't come down. I've been able to live just like I did before. And I'm very frank to say that. And I was prepared to come down, but the Lord didn't bring it down. And I want to thank him for it. And I do thank him for it. And I praise his name for it. But Paul knew how to abound. He knew how to be abased. And it's more difficult, some people say, to abound than it is to be abased. Well, some of us have known what it is to be abased. And I remember Dr. Ironside telling the story that he went over to Grand Rapids each year, years ago, for his friend Mel Trotter, who had the mission there. And the one year when he went over, he got a letter from Mel Trotter to go to the new hotel there, that the man that owned it had been a drunkard, and Mel Trotter, who had also been a drunkard, been converted, he led this man to Christ. And the man says, I want to do something for you, and anytime you have guests that come to the city, you send them to the hotel. So Mel Trotter told Dr. Ironside, you go there to the hotel. He went there, and they gave him the presidential suite, the nicest apartment there was in the hotel. And Dr. Ironside just wasn't accustomed to that sort of thing. And so he immediately went to the phone and he called up Mel Trotter and said, listen, Mel, I don't need this apartment. You don't have to give me this. Just give me a room that's comfortable where I got a bed I can sleep in and a desk where I can study and a good light. And that's all I need. But I don't need all this luxury. And Mel Trotter said to him in his characteristic manner, he says, now listen, Harry. He says, that man owes everything to me. He was a drunkard. He's been led to the Lord, and he owes a great deal to me, and he provides that. And it's not costing me anything. It's not going to cost you anything. So he says, Paul said he knew how to be abased and knew how to abound. Now he said, for 1 week, I want you to learn how to abound in that room. Dr. Ironside said, I learned how to abound in that apartment. It wasn't just a room in that apartment for that week. Well, God says to us, I want you to learn how to abound. I want you to know how to be abased. Now, Paul says, I know both of those things. Now, he makes one of the most tremendous statements that I suppose you find in the Bible. You hear this quoted by a great many people, and I think that there are only certain circumstances in which it should be quoted. And this is something that's geared to life. This is a verse that gets right down to the nitty-gritty, right down where the rubber touches the road. And this is where this verse needs to be worked out. It's not just a nice little verse to quote. We're going to see next time what does it really mean when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Are you able to do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you? Well, let's don't quote it unless it's been already worked out in our lives. We'll see what that means next time.
Are you able to do all things through Christ? Well, we'll learn more about what that means tomorrow, so be sure to catch the Bible Bus as we complete Dr. McGee's study of Philippians with chapter 4, verses 13 through 23. And if you haven't yet downloaded your free copy of our ebook titled Briefing the Bible, now's the perfect time. Briefing the Bible contains Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for all 66 books of the Bible, or if you'd prefer to download the notes and outlines for just the book of Ecclesiastes, we make those available as well. Simply visit us at ttb.org/briefingthebible to check out your options, including requesting an abridged paperback copy of Briefing the Bible be sent to you by mail. Or if we can assist you, just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Well, that's all for today. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as always, I'll meet you right back here tomorrow as we continue to make our way through the Bible.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.